Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
That's Cream,
right?
And I'm just realised I'm doing air drums in front of the daughter of the bloke who's actually playing drums on that. What an idiot.
Jeez.
Come on. I'm so thrilled. We've got Nettie Baker in. Good evening, Nettie.
Hello.
How are you doing? You're right.
Good, thank you.
I feel like I know you intimately. Because I've read your dirty little book. It's a great book, Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. And we'll say it and we'll get it out of the way. Ginger Baker is your dad.
That's right.
One of the greatest drummers in the world.
Yes,
would you say one of or would you say the? I suppose it depends if he's in the room with you or not, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably. But yeah. It's hard to say. My brother's pretty good, I have to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kofi Baker.
Have you got any musical?
None. Zero.
But I'm sat here playing air drums in front of Nettie. Terrible, isn't it? Catherine Boyle is here. Good evening, Catherine.
I am, yeah. I'm not playing air drums.
The book is Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter by Nettie Baker. And we're going to... I've tweeted the link earlier. I'm going to tweet the link again. So if you want to find it, I will tell you where to get it. If you want to call in and talk to Nettie about the book, about her dad, 0344-499-1000. But if you want to phone in and just talk about anything, that's the vibe we've got here, Nettie. They can call in about anything. I loved your book.
Thank you.
God bless the person who told me about it on Twitter. I don't know who it was, but someone said, Nettie Baker's got a book out. You should get her on because it's a really good read. And I loved it, right? I love my rock star biographies. I love my books about the Beatles and the Monkees and The Who.
Me too.
I love all of that.
Yeah.
And I expected this to be about Cream and about your dad and all of that. And it's not. It's really interesting. You've not read it yet, Catherine.
No,
you're going to have
it
afterwards because it's great. It's about a teenage girl struggling with a parent's divorce and struggling with boys, and sometimes the family got money and sometimes they're a little bit skint. And in the background is one of the most famous rock stars in the world. And he pops up from time to time, but it's about you. It's about you as a teenage girl in the 70s and the 80s. Was that always the decision to write the book about you?
Well, no, it's diaries. It's just my diaries. I kept a diary and then... You know, my mum always used to say, you know, especially in those 80s times, you know, she used to, the Lady Bracknell thing, you know, yeah. I always kill when I want something sensational to read on the train. And my mum used to say, the pages are smoking and it's written in purple ink. And, you know, it's just like my daughter does the same now. And when she reads me her diaries, they're absolutely hilarious,
really?
About things she got up to. I had no idea, you know. The allotments and stuff.
I know we're not here to talk about your daughter.
She'd be thrilled.
I live opposite an allotments now. What happens in allotments?
I think all the teenagers broke into one of the sheds and used it as an illegal drinking den, you know, as they do.
Guys, come into my house. Come on. Come and do it somewhere safe and warm. I won't even be in the same room.
That doesn't sound weird at all.
No, I don't want to perv over them. I just want... I remember being a teenage drinker and a drug taker and, you know, we'd do it in the park. You know, come and use my living room. I don't care. I'll be upstairs sleeping.
Well, in my day, of course, you know, it was not drugs, but drinking was, you could do it when you were underage. No one really said anything.
Yeah.
So
everyone knew the pub to go to, didn't they?
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's what there's quite a few of them in there. But well, you were no
the,
one asked you.
You were
really.
The tall one in your
I
group.
Was the tall
so
one.
So you were the one that was going to the offie and getting
yes,
served in pubs
yeah.
and things.
Yeah.
I mean, does that still... I mean, because I was the tall one, so I would be the one at 15 that would go to the
offie. I don't know
even
if I'm allowed to say what my daughter told me they did to get served.
Go on. I want to read your
All
daughter's
All right, well,
book.
Tell us what someone you don't know might have done.
She won't care. Well, she might if her workmates are listening. No, they won't. she said, you know, the girls would like be friendly with each other in front of the shopkeeper, and that's how they get it. I said, it wouldn't even cross my mind to do that.
Lesbians didn't exist in the 70s.
Well, they
the
did,
80s.
But we would never have crossed our minds that we would, as I said in the book, it wasn't until I listened to like Bernie Taupin's lyrics on Goodbye Yellow Brick Road that we sort of realised there was more going on in the world than we. You know, we were very innocent then. Yeah. I'm sure not everybody was, but in the circle that I was in, we were very innocent.
It's an incredible ride, this whole story. It's quite a dysfunctional family. I think that's a, that's a polite,
yes,
modern way
definitely.
Of saying that everybody was effed up in your... Okay, so at what point were you... How old were you when your dad became famous, or was he already famous before you were born?
No, he was, you know, a struggling jazz musician. Right. He was on the jazz scene, and he's older than Eric and Jack. So he was, you know, going down Archer Street, which is where they all went to, you know, get work, sort of like the Dockers or something, you know, and then they'd be picked.
Yeah.
And then he got, you know, known, and he was in, you know, played with Acca Bilt and Chris Barber and Terry Lightfoot and all those bands before he started getting into, you know, meeting Alexis Corner and people like that, and then had the Graham Bond organisation. They were massive, but they didn't sell records. They
were all big live draw.
Huge live draw, influence on like Ian Dury, Steve Winwood, people like that, and they were on tour with the Moody Blues, The Who. So they knew all those people, but they were huge live, but they just weren't selling records.
And how old would you have been then?
Well, when Cream, I really don't like everyone knowing how old I am, but I've sort of given it away.
Come on.
I pretend that I'm not, you know, I'm 25 and that's it. But when Cream formed, I was 5.
Right.
But it was a very vivid time, so that's why I have very vivid memories of it.
And what was the vibe like in your house? When
it was
Cream.
Always bad.
Was it?
But Cream was, you know, that was the fun bit, having people like, you know, before Eric came along, Jack was in Graham Bond for a while. Yeah. And so Jack would come down from Scotland and stay the night on our sofa, and my mum used to look after him. And so Jack was there. And then we had people round doing, you know, photographs, and then they'd do loads of photographs of me, which, of course, I loved it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you might meet the Moody Blues and go somewhere and sit on their laps, you know. It was so exciting. And then, like, Eric coming round, I, you know, had a big crush on Eric.
Did you really? Even as
Scott
a little girl?
Scott Walker. I remember chatting up Scott Walker when I was about 4. He looked a bit worried. But I was always thinking, where's the party? I'm having a good time. Because the actual home life was not good.
And was it not? And if I ask, you pretty much reveal everything in here, so I feel I can ask anything. But if we ask anything that's inappropriate, tell us to jog on and we'll move on. But was it not good between your mum and dad from early doors?
Yeah, because, you know, my mum was always a bit strange, a bit aggressive.
Right.
And my dad found that very attractive, but it sort of went wrong. Mm. And I think she had really had an undiagnosed mental illness that we didn't find out till before she died, really.
Right.
But we did know, but we tend to enable it by not getting her to do something about it.
Okay.
And then, of course, my dad, you know, he thought that was attractive, a bit of a mad woman, but she couldn't cope with what was happening. So it was just a very volatile... There were two people. The dynamic was really violent, and it got very, very violent.
What was her mental illness then? Did it get diagnosed before she passed?
Before she died, they said she had an undiagnosed personality disorder, which apparently, if you don't get it under control by the time someone's 20, you can't do anything about it.
Okay.
So I think she basically had depression,
yeah,
but she wasn't manic because I never really saw her up. So it was sort of... She would be agoraphobic. She would be aggressive. She wasn't like it all the time.
No.
But she was dodgy. And then he just made it 10 times worse.
He's famously nuts. I mean, that isn't he? I'm talking about your dad, but I've seen the Beware Mr. Baker. And you were telling me that was kind of, he got off lightly in that film. He is, he's a genius, right? He's a genius. What he can do with rhythms and, you know, and the thing is, it's not just rock. Like you say, it's jazz, African music. He excelled in a way that very few white percussionists have been able to do. I mean, he can work magic. but famously very difficult man to work with and to live with as well, I would guess.
Well, I always say that, you know, being, you know, really highly talented and a nice person is not mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, there's loads of people that we would, you know, when you meet your heroes, you didn't like them. But you don't have to. You can just get the art and all the people, you know, oh, he's terrible, he's awful, you know. It's like, yeah, you know, you can just put the record on, groove on down. It's not in your house. So,
I want my rock stars to have a darkness about them, as long as they're not off, you know, raping people. I want them to have a darkness about them and an eccentricity. That's what I want.
Which is fine, as long as you don't have to try and live your life.
Yeah, yeah.
With someone very, very dominant. So what happens is their life colours everything you do and everywhere you are, and your identity goes away.
Yeah, because they're making money for someone, they're kind of enabled by that, aren't they? As long as I give him what he needs to make me some money, I don't care what he does or how he behaves.
Yeah. Yes, very much so, I think.
When your parents split, you stayed with your dad. Mm-hmm. And your siblings stayed with your mum, is that right?
Yeah, although it was a bit...
How did that come about? How did that division get made?
Well, I'm much older than them, so right. They could not, you know, they had to have a parental control. I was 18 by then, so I could do what I liked.
Yeah.
Or 16 when it started to go a bit. So I was off, and I feel a bit bad because I did abandon them to, you know, once
your mum's illness.
Yeah, and so it was quite bad for them. But, you know, I didn't want to tell a story that's, you know, like everyone get the violin out. I wanted to tell a story where, you know, let's find this funny, because, you know, looking back, it was funny.
Was it funny? Because there is a darkness with you saying your mum was ill. That actually makes a lot more sense to some of the stuff in there. Your dad, you know, financially up and down, obviously involved with heroin, which is not a fun drug, not one of the fun ones.
It's not.
But there is a brilliant kind of sense of humour in this book. Was it fun growing up?
Well, you know, it was interesting, and that's the sort of person I am. You just got to make it. So I worked really hard to enjoy myself. And as it sort of says in there, there's a whole fantasy life going on at the same time. So whatever I'm reading or whatever I'm into, you know, I'm not really in reality, I don't think.
But
I
that's
think
about I'm, survival, though, isn't it?
I think I never thought of it like that myself. You just, that's who you are.
Mm. Yeah.
And so there was always this, you know, everything was going to be fantastic in a minute. You know, Prince Charming was going to come along and it was all going to be great. So I think that's how I cope with it. Yeah, it was just a fantasy life going on at the same time.
How did the Prince Charming thing work out?
There have been a lot of them. They were, a lot of them were quite nice, but, you know.
They
were very handsome.
Sorry, I'm just getting my pen out because I keep remembering bits that I want to ask you. One bit, you mentioned Prince Charming. You're hanging out with Prince Charles a lot.
Yes, we were.
And friends with Sarah Ferguson.
Yes.
That was a surprise. I didn't see that coming.
She's one of your favourites, isn't she, Sarah Ferguson?
I've got a soft spot for Sarah Ferguson. I've always thought she was wonderful.
She was very nice. Yeah. But I mean, I bumped into her again. Well, I didn't. I mean, I was standing near her somewhere, but she had no clue who I was, and I didn't say anything to her in about 2005. So she's probably forgotten me.
But this was all because of this is what I don't get. How do so many 60s rock stars end up playing polo? We talked about Kenny Jones. Kenny Jones got a polo ground.
Yep.
I didn't realise your dad was into polo. And that led to you working for a long time with horses. That seemed strange.
I got stuck into that. I didn't really want to do that, but I had no choice in the end.
What did you want to do?
Well, I think I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
But then I ended up in the wrong stage school. So I did a Lambda exam when I was like 10.
Yeah.
But then I ended up at ballet school, so I was doing classical ballet. But I was never good enough to be a ballerina. Right. So I think I wanted to do something more, you know, and I was writing then. I was writing all the time, millions of hilarious poems and, you know, just stuff that you just write and write and write.
That was a brave move, putting the poems in teenage poetry in a book. That's brave. They were great, but that's still a brave thing to do.
Well, I was a bit careful about, you know, it had to be like up to a certain standard.
Oh, you mentioned the diaries.
Yeah.
So, because you, it's interesting you said that, because you do sometimes go into amazing detail. Like, on the Thursday, we went down to this pub and this song by Shawaddy Waddy was playing on the jukebox. And then Steve came over to me and said, is that all in the diary or is there a little bit of...
No,
magic-y.
Most of it is in the diaries.
How funny.
A lot of it's reported conversations on days, because I kept them all, so I just went through them and then worked it into that.
And what was that like going through the diaries? Was that fun? Was that traumatic?
Some of it is. In fact, you know, book two, whenever I read that, is quite traumatic for me, although it was sort of the best time in my life, but also quite traumatic. So I do find that quite cathartic. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's brought people out the woodwork that I haven't spoken to for 40 years and things like that. So
we should say, weird. This is you're telling me this is book one. This stopped, when does it stop? 1985, I think. 1984, going into 85.
Yeah, New Year's Eve.
So book two is going to come out. Is that coming out? You got a date for that yet?
No, I haven't, but I presume that it's going to come out in the spring or summer.
And so who's come out of the woodwork then? What friends, in inverted commas, that you've not seen for decades have gone, oh, Nettie's got a book out.
There's a boyfriend in there called Max, and I hadn't spoken to him. I split up with him 40 years ago. 40 years ago, he was my boyfriend, and he phoned me up.
No.
And that was...
What was he after?
Well, I'd been talking to his brother for a while on Facebook.
Right.
And I kept saying, I'd like to just tell him this is happening. And then because he was a guy through who I met Billy Bragg, he was a mate of Billy Bragg's before Billy Bragg was famous.
It's another riffraff, isn't it?
Yeah.
The band, yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
It's another. I'm jotting all these things down because there's so much I want to ask about. Let's take a quick break. We're talking to Nettie Baker. The book is Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. I'm going to tweet the links and things in a bit. You're not on Twitter as yourself, but you run Ginger's.
Yeah, my daughter runs the Ginger Baker Drums or something Twitter account.
Yeah,
so
Ginger
get on
B
there.
Drums, I think it is. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. We're joined by Nettie Baker for the first hour of the show. Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. You can get it on Amazon. And I'm going to tweet a few more links, is the book. It was Graham Campbell, that told me I should get you on
right.
the show.
Thank you, Graham.
He said, that was me. I've been really looking forward to this interview. Lane said about the song that we played. Well, Lane, that language is inappropriate. Effing legendary song. Just calm down. And Carl is saying, Nettie's great.
Thank
you. You got some fans. So Billy, it's one of those books, Catherine, and I think you're going to love it, right, where we mentioned Prince Charles and Sarah Ferguson just pop up. You're like, flipping heck, where did that come from?
Was it when Prince Charles was hot?
What am I saying? What are you making me say? Prince Charles was lovely.
Did you get to speak to him?
No, not really, because I was at a ball where he was.
Right.
Before he was with, you know, Lady Di, he was with her sister.
Oh, it's Lady Di, still gets me.
Sarah Spencer, the really skinny one. And that's who he was with when I was at a ball and he was happened to be on the same dance floor. And then later I was taking some horses. One of the players said, can you take some horses down with all the grooms? And I happened to be taking the horses that Prince Charles was riding.
Yeah.
But I don't think he spoke. He probably thought, who's that groom in the wellies or nothing? But I never actually...
Who's that bit of rough?
But I was basically,
like
in this amount of proximity with him just doing stuff.
And the lovely Billy Bragg, we love Billy Bragg on this show. He was so kind to, he gave us so much time and chatted away to us and stuff. And he'd written a book about skiffle. That was it. That was why we had him on. He had his book about skiffle, which was great. But you kind of knew him when he was in like a pub band.
Yes,
Riffraff doing the circuit. So how did you meet him? Was it
I met him through this boyfriend Max, who he just said, oh, you know, let's go and see this band Riffraff with my mate Billy. So we used to just have a drink with him at the bar, and I thought they were great.
Yeah.
And they had a really good song called My Side Was a Write Off. That was my favourite one. But he had the Cosmonaut, I Want to Be a Cosmonaut or whatever single out, but which I bought, and we had a badge. And then they did a gig supporting the Skids and the Stranglers at Peterborough.
Mm.
So this was before I was a punk.
And the Stranglers...
And I was a bit ooh.
The Stranglers... was that your first punk gig?
It was, really, yes.
And the Flobbing was a bit...
Yeah, wow.
Terrifying.
Well, I actually watched the Pill film today about, you know...
Oh, okay.
John Lydon, because they sent it to me as a screener. And there's one where Pill, he's having loads of problems with it. So it was a big thing at that time.
So I thought that was a myth.
What about Flobbing?
Flobbing, but it happened.
Yes, it did happen.
Dirty buggers.
It was unbelievable. I mean, he was just going, can you stop? I can't play my guitar because it's just all over the guitar.
Well, that's giving me the dry
I was like, what the hell? hell's going on here? I just could not believe it.
Imagine the amount of TB floating through the air at those. No wonder Punk didn't last. They're all dying off.
How dare you? It's still going.
Consumption. But you, did your dad like the Punk?
No.
Seeing he hated it because they weren't playing their instruments properly. That kind of vibe, was it?
Yes, he was most scathing about them.
That's
really
funny, because you would think, I mean, because I know that the Who, Townsend in particular, dug Punk because he liked that energy.
He
of
liked
it.
The raw fury.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose was your dad trained or was he self-taught?
Well, he was self-taught, but he did teach himself to read music and all the rest of it. So he, you know, he completely can arrange and compose and do things that most drummers can't.
Yeah.
Or, you know, normal rock drummers, because he was before them.
Yeah.
You know, like Keith Moon and John Bonham looked up to him. Charlie Watts, who's a great friend of his, they looked up to him, and he was the one they looked up to. So he was before them.
Yeah.
So, you know, people get that wrong and go, oh, he said nasty things about them. But as he says in the film, if they were here, ask them. And if you asked them, they would say, you know, like Kit Lambert said when Keith Moon was really ill, he's really bad. Can you go and speak to him just before he died? I think he'll listen to you.
Wow.
But he said, oh, I was too in my own thing. And he didn't go.
But Netta, you're wrong. People on the internet know more about what happened in the 60s and 70s than you your
I've
dad.
Noticed.
All right?
Yes.
And they're going to explain it to you.
And they frequently do.
They're going to tell you exactly what your dad was thinking, even though you could phone him up and ask.
Yeah.
It's nuts, isn't it?
Say something and you say something and somebody said, and so-and-so told me this and he was in Neasden. I said, in my house. He was in my house.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
Hello, I'm Jamie East. Now, as well as being on talk radio every afternoon between 1 and 4 p.m, I've just started a brand new podcast that I wanted to tell you about. It's called Talk Film. We've got interviews with the big stars like Martin Freeman, Tandy Newton, Josh Brolin, loads of them. And also all of the reviews of the week's big releases. There's a new episode every Thursday, available through Apple Podcasts and your favourite podcast app. Just search for Talk Film and give it a whirl. If you like it, please hit that subscribe button.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nutjob, but not that kind of nutjob.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
We've got a phone call. You might want to put your headphones on. We've got Cleo. Good evening, Cleo.
Hello. I'm sorry for the swear word.
Outrageously, Vol, we will not have swearing online. Let's keep the internet clean, for goodness sakes.
I bloody love Cream. Oh,
we're talking about the band here, or we know you're a big lad. I don't know.
I'm a big fella.
Yeah.
But your dad is. He probably.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
3 years, the best drummer ever.
Mine? He can't play drums?
Not combined.
I'm not talking to you. You know I'm not talking to you.
Right, okay, go on then.
I think it's like him and Mitch Mitchell from Hendrix. You probably couldn't touch him. Both sort of that jazz period who brought it into the mainstream and into the rock. And
Is this your way of proposing to Nettie, Cleo?
Sort of.
Because that's a weird way of going about it, man.
From what I gather, though, I think, like, you know, the tradition of going via the father, I don't think it's very good. I might get a walking stick to the head or something.
You might get something. Have you got a question, or you just phoned in to suck up?
A bit of both.
Go on.
Do you? What was the documentary about your dad? Was that accurate, or was it?
She's raising her eyebrows. We kind of touched on this briefly. Yes. It's a great film. If no one sees it, beware Mr. Baker. It's so well done.
Jay did a good job.
You're saying he got off lightly in it, though.
He was, well, it was a polite version, I think. He was very kind.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I've got a friend who used to run gigs in the Northeast called Jeff Doherty. And he set up a gig for your dad in Sunderland, a place called the Locarno North.
Oh, are you phoning in because he owes money or something? What is this?
Well, it's not that. He said it's like he managed to get the Who to play there and all these bands who would never ordinarily play Sunderland, and he got the aeroplane to play there.
Oh, Air Force.
Ginger's other bands.
Air Force.
Air Force. That's what it was.
There
was helicopter Air Force, wasn't there? Is
there a point to this call, Cleo? Because I've got some brilliant questions I want to ask Nettie because I've read the book. So either get to it or naff off.
Apparently they got so wasted
before
the gig. Half the band didn't turn up. And Ginger got into a fight.
Yeah, well, that sounds, you know, that sounds more like it. The other book that I wrote was his autobiography called Hellraiser. And you can get that on Amazon. And that will tell you a few things about that band.
I'm going to have to get that because I've not read that. There's, all joking aside, your dad was, you know, he was a heroin addict,
yes,
in the 70s.
Yep.
What was while you were living with him, or was that after you'd moved out?
Well, no, I mean, he first took heroin in the summer that I was conceived.
Oh, wow. Okay, right.
So he was a registered addict from 1960 to 66.
Yeah.
And then he, I can't remember which way round, but he like had 29 attempts to get off it or something over 17 years, or 17 attempts in 29, I don't know, one of those two. And he didn't get off it till 1982.
Mm. How did he get clean in the end?
Well, he went to Italy.
Right.
And then he was away from it.
Yeah.
He said he'd managed it before for a long periods, but he said unless you've gone 2 years, you're not straight.
Yes, it's still going on.
And then he, after, you know, by about 10 years ago, then because he got this degenerative joint disease, he was very keen to get back on prescription morphine, which is now he's on, so he's happy.
And we laugh, you know, because, hey, rock stars doing heroin in the 70s, but you were a young woman.
Yeah.
That must have been horrendous, seeing your dad passing out in his meal. I mean, it must have been awful.
Well, it wasn't horrendous. It's just really irritating.
Can't get anything done.
Well, they just become, you know, complete prats.
Yeah.
People who are stoned, I've got this thing about it, you know. Mm. I can tell, you know, like when I've been working in shops and they go, oh, someone's on the nick.
Yeah.
I go there, it's a junkie.
Yeah.
It's a junkie. It's like, how do you know? It's like, I can tell them a mile off. They speak a certain way. They act a certain way. You can tell. And I just want to kill them.
Do you know what?
He was really irritating.
I used to use a lot of drugs, and I'm in recovery. And you can tell when someone's on something. There's just that there's a darkness. Particularly if it's coke.
You always say you can tell if someone's holding it.
Oh, I know if someone's got coke in a room. I can walk into a room and I know if someone's got it.
Cause I know.
My antenna.
I wouldn't know.
Your dad would know. This antenna goes up. There's a vibe. There's a vibe that goes on in the room. But yet, here's the great thing. You've never really been into drugs. It never really was it. Was it your dad's your dad's behaviour scared you off, or how do you explain that?
Well, I explain it a lot in the second book because, you know, the punk thing we got quite deep into a load of stuff. But it's just because it's too much of a commitment. Being a heroin addict is worse than being married. It's like it's a lifelong commitment, really, unless you're one of the very few people who managed to get off it.
Yeah.
I just can't see what the point of it is. So, and also my dad used to give me very long lectures about it, which I did. I've always been a person who has listened to good advice, not rubbish advice, but, you know, and that was quite good advice. And I was very wary about drugs. I started taking drugs more when I was in my mid-20s rather than a young teenager. I mean, we smoked a load of dope.
Yeah.
But I didn't really do any other drugs till I was old enough to make more informed decisions. Mm. And I've just been lucky, I suppose. Mm. I haven't got an addictive personality.
I'm worried about this, but we're going to take it. This is Anal Caddick. Good evening. His anal's name is Alan.
Right.
We were doing a show the other night about nicknames, and he came up with the nickname Anal himself. So it's now what it says on my screen. Good. I feel terribly embarrassed. I've just realised how stupid our show is.
realised.
Now we have a guest. It turns out I'm made painfully aware that our show is nonsense. Anal, good evening. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hang on a minute. Hello.
Anal, you're speaking to Nettie Baker.
Hello.
Have you been? You've probably not been listening to the show.
Oh, I've only just got up.
Flipping it. Why? What have you been up to? I don't want to know.
Well, let me explain. So Nettie is she's a writer. She's written several books. Her new book is called Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. And by coincidence, she happens to be the daughter of the rock drummer Ginger Baker. Now, just bear one second.
Who the hell is Ginger Baker?
Your thoughts exactly.
See, I told you.
He's up. He's probably one of the four most famous rock drummers of all time.
And here's something that's really going to float your boat, Alan. She's into horses.
Point to point or the flat of a jump.
Actually, I'm not into horses, but I did used to do polo ponies and then dressage.
Alan Caddick has a very special talent.
Well, hang on, Alan. Who won the Grand National in 1979?
That was Whipstick.
And who came third in 1985?
That was Mr. Snugfit.
There you go.
I've got Red Rum in the National for the third time in my book.
Yeah.
Being Church Town Boy in second, I captain third,
okay.
The Pagali in fourth.
We've started it now, and I can only apologise. Well, what would you like to say, Alan?
Well, did you catch Doctor Who on Sunday night?
Did we? No, I didn't watch Doctor Who on Sunday night.
Oh.
But thanks for your call.
I didn't either. I missed it on purpose.
Sorry, I should have explained
great.
What
no,
the show is
I
before
think
you
I can
come
cope.
In. What's going on with boys in this book? This is why I love this book, right? Because it's about a young girl growing into a young woman looking for love. It's that teenage thing. And
except for it never ended.
Well, it never ends, does it not? Okay, well, we'll give you Alan's number. You can speak to him. But I've never seen this perspective because I'm a boy.
Are you?
Yes. I got the test result back. I am.
Wow, finally.
This is like the instruction booklet. For me, I don't know how this stuff works.
That's
what
why all the blokes like it so much.
I think it is.
Well, maybe it'll change the world.
But you always seem to go for the wrong ones.
Yep.
What was going on there?
I don't know. I presume because, well, I don't know. I just find people attractive, and I don't really care about their personality. And then people that are nice, I don't find them attractive.
There's a great bit when there's. I'm going to get this the wrong way round. There's a couple of guys where you're not that interested in them, but then they say they're not interested in you, and suddenly you go, oh!
Yeah, challenge.
Oh, that happens every time.
I'm interested now.
That's quite common with me.
Yeah, it is. I know. And also, who is this? Is it the Bell? You give a lot of them nicknames.
Because I'm afraid I don't think he's ever going to speak to me again.
Well, he comes across as a bell end, if you ask me. He treats you appallingly.
Yes.
Appallingly. Yeah.
My first one did as well, but I don't know why I put up with it. But I think because my dad treated my mother appallingly, and I I don't know.
Well, you were waiting for Mr. Wright.
Well, no,
weren't you?
There's a thing I do where I think I just try and see how horrible people actually are. It's quite interesting how horrible they'll be. Not that I haven't dumped people and done things like that, which I have many times, but I'm always fairly honest about it. I mean, I might say I'm going to marry you and all the rest of it and then say I've changed my mind, but at least I'm honest about it. I don't lead you miles up the garden path or just talk rubbish.
Is it the bell where you have an argument and you kind of say, look, you've either got to marry me or this is over.
Yes.
All right, then let's get married. Was it?
I don't think I was actually expecting that answer.
It's an amazing...
I was talking to my cousin the other day. I was saying, I think, do you know when you do that and then you think they're going to say bye? And
You're kind of hoping they're going to say bye.
Well, yeah, it sort of went a bit wrong then, I think.
And there's also a really sad bit where you're sat in a car with another boyfriend. You go, is it worth carrying on? He goes... Nah.
No, he was the one that said to his friend that he asked me out because he felt sorry for me because I was so ugly.
Wow.
No.
And he's bought the book, by the way.
What have they
done? Sorry for you.
No, because a lot of them, they don't even realise what they've done. Yeah, he must do. But like, have you got a clue? If I'd done things like that, I think, oh, God, what have they said? But they're all like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be in it.
What have people said that are in the book? Well, actually, I think there are some, you do pull some punches a little bit. You were telling us about one story. We said, actually, I kind of hint at what happens, but there's more to it. But it's a really honest book. It really is. And you kind of don't really hide much about the way you're treated by men and sometimes the way you treat men as well. What do the people in it say about it?
Well, quite a few of them are dead.
Thank God. It's a relief.
So I don't have to worry about them. Yeah. And, you know, I think one of them was the bell is fearful. Max is the one that contacted me after years and he's fine. He comes out of it fine. So he just said, oh, you told everyone I stole a jacket. And I'm like, I don't think you'll be in trouble for that now. It's okay. And the others, I'm like, you know, waiting for them to see. I quite like it, really, because it's like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Was it weird growing up? Because you hang out with a lot of musicians, right? You obviously like music. You go and see a lot of bands. Was there a lot of them going, oh, she's Ginger Baker's daughter. Let's see if we can get an invite. But did you feel that people were interested in you because of your dad?
Not with my close friends. My close friends are still my close friends. The girls on the back of the book are still my mates that I speak to every day, practically.
Yeah.
So not really. I mean, I just had... Really, by the time I was the 70s, I think the teenage world had no idea who he was.
Right.
And it was just like older people would then say, oh, what music's your dad doing? And I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know because I didn't care.
Because you were into David Cassidy, the Sweets.
Early, and then all the glam rock stuff. Yeah.
Was that Rebellion?
I don't know.
Just natural.
I just liked it, you know.
You're right about Slade. I've said this before. Slade are one of the most underrated bands ever. They're like Led Zeppelin, but in 2.5 minute songs. I think they're such a good rock band.
They're brilliant.
Catholic, but I just phoned up my kids before we did a little video phone call with my kids. And my six-year-old said, what have you done to your hair? He said, I cut it myself. He's given himself
Dave Hill.
He totally is. It's like
he's done a Dave Hill.
And he went, oh, that's really cool.
I put the phone down to Kath and went, well, that's effed up. I'll show you a picture. He's done a Dave Hill. It's outrageous. We got another 15, 20 minutes with Nettie Baker. It's such a good book. Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. Some great pictures in it as well. If you want to give us a call, 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
A star-crossed soapbox for sailor boys, stable girls,
I'm on the edge,
and stripper grands.
It depends who you're with and it depends on the situation.
Late Night Speech Radio with a difference.
Thank you.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
And Catherine Boyle and Nettie Baker up until 11 o'clock. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give us a call. At Ginger B Drums, if you want to kind of follow Ginger's official account, which I think is being run by your daughter.
It is, yeah.
Tonight. I think she's sober. It seems to be some good messages. You were saying that she's working for a charity or she
works
got a charity?
She's the marketing campaign manager for Leonard Cheshire Disability.
My mum's in a Leonard Cheshire home.
Well, there you are.
There we go.
Oh,
there we go.
Fantastic. And she wanted everyone to know that they've got two Carol concerts on... One in Northwich and one in London on the 18th of December. Tickets are available now.
Hey, fantastic. They're good, Lena Cheshire. No, they look after my mum.
Yeah,
so,
she's really enjoying working there.
How long has she been doing that for?
She's been in the charity sector since she was 19.
Yeah.
And she was at REAL and she was at National Deaf Children's Society or whatever it is. And now she's at Lena Cheshire.
Oh, good for her.
So she really enjoys it. And it's because she can also look how she wants to look in that sector. And she wanted to prove to everyone that you can look wild and still do a really good job.
I like the bit because a lot of your younger years is spent around horses and working in stables. And then you discover punk. And the image changes, the shaved side of the head and the dyeing of the hair and the outrageous in inverted commas clothes, and you go to a polo match or you go to a stables and they go, nah, not like looking like that, you can't, and you realise how far you'd kind of come since working
in the stables.
Yeah,
well, I mean, yes, they were a bit horrified, but there's a bit of that where I'm in this cult underground film called She's a Punk Rocker UK.
Okay.
Which is done by these guys that we work with called Sinzilla, who are in a band, punk band that's still going called Rubella Ballet. And there's a bit in that where I'm interviewed in that where I say the woman like, oh my gosh, wash that out of your hair. And I was like, why don't I just got stuck into it? Because my dad lost all his money and then buggered off, went to Italy and I couldn't do anything else. Yeah. I tried to get a job, but nobody wanted to. I mean, I couldn't do anything.
You said it earlier that when you were younger, you wanted to be an actress and you kind of laughed at that. Yeah. Is that not something you'd still want to do? Is that little flame still burning somewhere?
I don't know. I was always told that I was really good. I passed an exam, a senior exam, when I was 10.
Yeah.
I used to have acting lessons. And one of my friends who's in the early part of the book, Louise English, she's still acting and she's in an advert at the moment. I was like, oh, there's Lou. But her mum has just passed away, but she was always very good about it and used to say, you're really good, you're really, really good. One of the few people when I was young that ever said anything nice to me.
Right, wow.
And, you know, gave me some. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether I'd want to do it now or not. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to be in anything because I just look a certain way. You know, I think you have to be someone who can be made up to be whatever to be.
Yeah. Or sometimes they go for people who look certain.
I want an old slapper. Like an athlete. Le mutton dressed as le lamb or something.
No, not at all. You look stunning. I think you look stunning, Nettie.
He hasn't got his glasses on.
I haven't. No, but because I deliberately hadn't Googled any recent images of
really?
You. Because I thought, let's see.
Just Google she's a punk rocker. There's some looks in that, isn't there?
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, it was great. Great film, actually.
Oh, I'm going to have to check this out.
Yeah.
Has your dad read the book, heard any bits of the book? Have you spoken to him about it?
No, I mean, he's not well at the moment.
No.
So I think his main interests are doctor's appointments, really, when you get to that age.
How old is he now?
He's 79.
Wow.
He always knew I was doing it. And when we were doing his, and I'd say, what about this, what about that? For instance, the jokes about the holidays and stuff that I put in, he's like, I'll put it in your book. He used to say that all the time. So, I mean, he knew, he was well aware that I was doing it, so.
When was the Cream reunion?
2005.
Shut up, was it that long ago? I was thinking like 4 or 5 years ago.
No, it was a long time ago.
Flipping heck. Did he do all right out of that? I'd like to think that he...
Well, yes, but
and
it's
then
gone.
Then he blew it all again.
I mean, I think Eric wanted to do it to help because Jack had just had the liver transplant and... I think Eric's idea was, apart from that he wanted to do the music again, was to help them.
Mm.
But unfortunately...
Eric Clapton kind of... And he had his own issues in the 70s. He was doing heroin, then knocked that on the head and then was boozing a lot. But you kind of hint a couple of times that he was keeping an eye out for you and for your dad and that he paid a bill or he was paying the rent or something, wasn't he?
I think he's always been very supportive.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like, oh, hello, would you like to come to my house and stuff like that. I mean, yes, we did socialise with him a lot at one time. But like now he's got his own family life, everything, you know, moves in exalted circles compared to me. But very supportive always. If you need anything or any help or whatever, he's definitely in the background offering support.
I thought that was lovely in the book because I don't really know a lot about Eric Clapton, but I just thought that was so lovely that the 70s were a mess for Clapton, you know, but he still had his eye out for friends and family.
Well, yeah, he was. You know, I think he said to my dad, I think perhaps you ought to go to work, but he still helped out, you know.
Have you got Clapton's phone number in your phone?
No, I haven't. We used to have George Harrison's phone number. Oh. I've got the old phone book with like Steve Winwood's phone number, Eric's
have
phone number.
Have you really?
Numbers. Yeah.
Oh, what a joy to flick
I used
through
to think,
that.
I mean, I do know some secret email addresses and things, but I don't even use them myself. So
listen,
you know.
When we're going to leave the room with a bit of paper and a pen, you write down some rock stars' emails.
We won't see
how much. How much will you pay me?
We can go as high as 25 pence, I think, Nettie. And it is what's lovely is you do talk about people like George Harrison popping round. Of course, it was that weird time when Patty Boyd had left George and was with Eric, yeah. And they were all round. You take them off. You don't need
there's
those.
There's no one on there.
No,
is
there's
there?
No one on there.
Right.
They were all kind of round the house. And the 70s, for a lot of the 60s rockers, seems like such a messy, incestuous period, you know, with wives going over to other people. And yeah.
Although when we spoke to Patty Boyd, yeah. She's very matter-of-fact about it, wasn't she?
Very matter-of-fact about it, very well-spoken and, well, this happened and then I didn't love George and Eric asked me out and so I decided to go
you
and live
with
Eric.
Have you? Charlotte's great, the one that was with Eric first, the French lady, and then she was with Jimmy Page, who she's got a daughter by who's great. She and Jimmy Page's daughter, she's a photographer, makes jewellery. Great
girl.
So I'm quite friendly with them. But Charlotte's quite an entertaining lady.
Oh, we'll reach out to Charlotte, as they say. But growing up as a kid and George Harrison, I mean, were you aware of the Beatles? Because you kind of just missed the Beatles.
Well, when I was smaller, because I think my dad was hanging out with them a lot more than he even mentions.
Right.
And then I remember that I'd said something. My mum had thrown away some dressing up stuff and I'd said this, like written a poem or something about you throw away the things I've always wanted. I can see them in the teardrops of my mind or some absolute rubbish like that. And my dad thought it was great, wrote it down and, oh, it's marvellous, you know, the brilliant chant. And showed it to George Harrison. He was like, oh, yeah, we should make a song out of it. But they didn't.
Oh, would have been your mention.
I could have been Hey Jude, couldn't I? But never mind.
You know what it was? It was too good.
It was too good. So, yeah, they were hanging out quite a lot. And as I say, I went to the premiere of Yellow Submarine and met them all.
Wow.
At that very early stage. And then, obviously, again in the 70s a bit. So
So there's volume two. So this stops 1984 going into 1985.
Yeah.
I mean, the end of this is New Year's Eve. Dennis never even tried to have a decent... I don't like Dennis.
My mother didn't like him either.
He was a boozer and he treated you like shit. But Dennis never even tried to have a decent conversation with me. Perhaps he didn't think girls were capable of it. Never mind. As the bells rang and Father Time handed us the wonderful 1985, I believed he was mine, and there could have been no better feeling, however fleeting it may have been. To be continued.
Oh.
What an end! I thought, oh, you cow! How dare you?
That's what Chris Welsh said. I want to know what happens next.
How dare you? Dennis was
yeah, horrible. But I bet he was a looker. Was he?
He was, yeah. Yeah. Well, my daughter said, oh, my God, she saw a picture of him. Went, what's going on? And I was like, yeah, well, to me.
At
you
the
know,
time,
he was,
yeah.
Are you happy now? You seem happy. Are you happy?
I'm happy now because I've finally, for the first time ever, I've got control of my life and I've got my own identity and I haven't got, there are no Prince Charming's frogs or whoever's in my life and I really like it.
Wow.
It's the first time I've been like single and been able to and liking it,
yeah,
and really just completely happy. So I would say, yeah, mainly it's good.
Yeah.
Apart from, you know, it's just like the passing of time. It's a bit boring being old.
Tell me about it.
I mean, I would rather be at parties getting off with young men. If you'd say, what would I rather be doing? I would rather be doing that. But, you know, hey, I'm here. And at the moment, you know, this is good, I suppose. Yeah, it's quite good.
It started off really certain I'm happy and now it's like...
Yeah, no, then I was thinking, I'm always moaning about being old. And like,
I'm bored.
No, it's fine, it's fine.
It's good,
fine.
I suppose.
Oh, parties though.
Young men.
Yeah, well, this might, people might have parties now because I've done this, but they have to be during the day.
Well,
no, late nights, please.
You very kindly invited me and Kath to
yes,
a
yes.
night of debauchery,
yeah.
It sounds
it
like.
Be.
Oh, well, in that case, I can't do debauchery. But is that the official... book launch? The book's out now, isn't it?
It's out, but then everyone was like, oh, you're going to have a book launch. And I was like, well, you know, that costs money. And, you know, it's like you know, whatever you pay out is what you've earned. Mm. And it's not, you know, you don't earn millions and trillions of pounds unless you all out there go and buy 25 books each. But you
so
know,
what you're saying is there is a kitty and we have to put into
no,
it.
No, no, I mean, I did a deal with the Ealing Club because I helped them. They've got a film out called Suburban Steps to Rockland, and it's all about the Ealing Club, which the Stones and Cream and everyone yeah. started off in. And so I got them an interview with my dad. And I, you know, see them every 6 months. We all go and have coffee. And yeah. I thought, oh, I bet they'd do it. And yeah. they said, yeah, if you come in with us, we can talk about our film a bit and you can have it in there. And also it ties in because your dad used to play here. Yeah, yeah. So it's all part of their thing. And there's a band, a friend of mine's got a really good band, and they're going to play a little acoustic set. So
Can the plebs come, or is it just stars like
yeah,
me and
I know. I've been, I did, it is for the, but it, because they've got a limited number, I didn't right. realise it was like full up
oh,
within
gone.
2 seconds.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Obviously, I want, you know, closer friends and people that are special get on the list.
Is that
and
us?
So that can be you.
That's
yes,
us, Catherine. We're going.
But what we're going to do, it's on our fan page on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I will, if there is any space, we'll reopen it.
All right, cool.
So well, it's on there, but it's full up at the moment. Sorry.
And so when does...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Volume 2, which is going to come out at some point. Where does that end? Where does that? I just want to know whether it ends the story or there's another to be continued at the.
Oh
the
no!
Back
I
of it.
I decided always knew it ends in 1987, and yeah. I knew where it was going to end. So it is another happy ending.
Okay. And then what's next for you then? After the have you planned ahead or
well,
is it?
Well, yeah,
you
I know what
break?
I want to do because it's something I've been wanting to do for about 20 years, which is my master's was, I did a dissertation of my master's on Thomas Chatterton, who was one of the 18th century poets who was like their James Dean, who was an influence on, you know, all the romantic poets. And they all wrote poems about him. He came to London at the age of, you know, 17. He came into London in the April and he'd have dead by August.
Wow.
But he was a very prolific poet. So it's going to be Chatterton's Last Summer in 18th century London. It's going to be 1,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
Sleaze, I hope. That sort of thing. Almost like a screenplay.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do that for a long time. So.
God, that's, I wasn't expecting that as an answer. Flipping heck. And where does Dad live now? Is he in England?
Yes, he's somewhere outside Canterbury.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, send him our best. I hope his health gets better.
Thank you.
I don't quite know the situation, so I don't want to say anything that may or may not be appropriate. I loved your book, Nettie.
Thank you.
Honestly, I really enjoyed it. I think it's funny. I think it's like I say, I love the fact it's about you. And your dad is like this. It's like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. He just kind of pops in, says a few lines, and then disappears. And then
yeah.
it's back to you. What was it? Oh God, the most miserable scene in it. When you get dumped by someone and you're sitting in the dark listening to Face Value by Phil Collins.
I bet everyone would go, what the hell's going on? Things must be bad.
I couldn't think of a more miserable bit.
I read that the other day. I thought, oh my God.
It sounds really sad. And then Phil Collins is in it just to put the cherry on top.
It's a cracking read. It's a cracking read. I'm going to tweet the links again, but you can get it on Amazon. We're big fans of Big Green Bookshop as well on here, and I'm sure that they'll have it in the Big Green Bookshop. Just Google Nettie Baker, Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you
what
very
much. What a
pleasure
to meet you.
Thank you.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Normal service resumes. This is The Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.